Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time during which advocates urge us to cure the stigma, know the signs, and find help for those in need. Unfortunately, despite lots of societal progress in treating mental illness for what it is, a public health problem, we still have a long way to go. One area in which this hard truth is particularly evident is in our public schools, where resources for helping children cope with mental illness are stretched way too thin. Recently, I sat down with Debbie Dehoff, Executive Director of the North Carolina Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, to assess our challenges in this area and the policy changes that are needed. Well, Debbie Dehoff, welcome to News and Views. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much for asking me.
This is, appropriately enough, Mental Health Month. May is Mental Health Month, and NAMI is the most visible organization in our state working to improve the treatment of people struggling with mental illness in our state. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on right now with the organization.
Well, first, backing it up, NAMI stands for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, North Carolina, and thank you for what you said about it. We do very important work, and this is a month when we all need to be talking about mental health and mental illness. It should be part of our regular conversation. When people are hospitalized for other things, people send cards, they take casseroles. What the heck? Let's do that for people with mental illness as well. Those are the kinds of things that we need to do. And a lot of that is done through our system of 25 affiliates around the state. NAMI itself, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, North Carolina, we kind of have three things to our mission. We do support, we do education, and we do advocacy. So we support people by people can call our helpline. We also train people to run support groups, and they're run throughout our state. And guess what? The neatest thing is that it's free. Not many people can say that. And there are support groups targeted for people who live with mental illness and support groups that are targeted for families, because both are really affected. Back to the casserole analogy, that we need to care for families and caregivers. The education that we do evidence-based education. And once again, it's free. Probably our biggest signature program is called Family to Family. And there's a plethora of other programs targeted toward military veteran families called Homefront, targeted towards families with children called NAMI Basics, and really a number of others. And we train the teachers, and the teachers go forth at the affiliate level and offer these classes free in their communities. The advocacy piece is really about, well, advocacy for national and state changes in laws, rules, regulations that will improve the quality of life for people affected by mental illness.
Well, I want to talk about the advocacy, but I also want to talk about just, I suppose the issue is really of normalizing, in a sense, mental health as an issue in mental illness. You know, we hear a lot about mental illness briefly when there's a tragedy, like the shootings that have occurred recently, where a person struggling with mental illness has committed some horrible crime. You've been at this a while. Are we making progress in getting people to realize that mental illness is just a health problem like so many other ones that we take for granted as just being part of life in the modern world?
You know, I think we are making progress. I hear people talking about mental illness. I'll give you a little story from my own church. We have a mental health task force at my church, and I'm a big believer that we should have natural supports like churches helping people. So one day, I'm sitting in church, and I see in our church program, under condolences and thinking about celebrations and concerns, to be thinking about a certain individual who had been admitted to Central Regional Hospital. You know, you just don't see that all the time. You see so-and-so is in treatment for cancer, so-and-so has a heart problem, but in treatment for mental illness, and it was normalized. It was in our bulletin in church. We need more of that.
Some of the other issues that obviously stand out, the issue of children struggling with mental illness. You can see it on the National NAMI website, that 1 in 5 children ages 13 to 18 have had a serious mental illness or will have a serious mental illness, and that the average delay between onset of symptoms and intervention is 8 to 10 years. Obviously, the issue is something that we have to grapple with, not just for adults. It's something that sets on early in life for a lot of people.
Right. We need to get in there early with our children and make a difference. Turns out that half of all lifetime cases start by age 14. To me, that's an argument to do mandatory mental health screening in the schools. There is some screening that goes on, but it's not for every single child. Of course, once you screen, you have to do something about that. And I think that's maybe one of the holdups to getting the mandatory screenings. You know, and if you look further down the road, half of those affected by mental illness who are 14 or older, they actually drop out of school. So these are all things that we need to come up with public policies to avert all that. I think one of the best things that we could think about planning for is to do school-based mental health treatment. Think about it. Families who don't have a lot of resources, who are working a couple of jobs, how can they get their child after school to a therapist, especially when there aren't enough therapists and when there are whole areas devoid of psychiatrists and psychologists throughout the state? So I think if we had school-based mental health, which is done in states like Minnesota, it would be easy to get the treatment that you need. One of the biggest problems is it's hard to get good treatment. It's hard to find providers.
One issue, of course, that's on the agenda, perhaps, we hope, in this session that's upcoming at the North Carolina General Assembly is the issue of school nurses and school psychologists. There's been a lot of attention on this issue with the recent tragedies and school shootings and a focus on the fact that we have these pathetic numbers in North Carolina in terms of how many students these psychologists and nurses and counselors are responsible for serving. Is that something that NAMI might be speaking out on or taking a position on?
We would absolutely speak out on that. I think one of the numbers, because I heard that on the radio, 1 to 700 is the national figure for psychologists to students.
It seems absurdly low.
Clearly, they're not really doing mental health treatment. They're probably doing some
basic
assessments
triage
and basic things exactly like that. In North Carolina, it's one psychologist to 2,100. So when you have an inadequate workforce, we're right back to we need to provide what people need. We need treatment to be easily accessible and high quality. But if you don't have that, it evolves into crisis. And we have a gazillion studies of why our emergency departments are overflowing, why people are waiting 2.5 days on the average to get care. And some of these are children. Well, it's because of workforce issues and difficulty navigating the system. This mental health system is really complicated. So having kind of a navigator or a case manager who could help walk you through it might lessen that 8 to 10 year delay from recognition to diagnosis.
I mean, as a practical matter, isn't it just the case that basically our emergency rooms, our law enforcement, our correction systems have become, in many instances, our mental health system? I mean, our police officers or to the people we turn to when we think someone's struggling.
It's sad, isn't
it?
Because they should be seeing practitioners. But I do want to do a shout out to the police and the jail and even the prisons. There's so much more to do, but so many police officers are now CIT trained. So in a way, that's helping out the void of access to mental health practitioners. There's also a new program called Stepping Up, which is recognizing how many people end up in jail who shouldn't end up in jail, where it costs more, it would be cheaper to get them the treatment they need outside of jail. Plus, jail comes out of county budgets. The system is really messed up. They've long talked about the Los Angeles jail being the biggest mental health institution. So people really, there are more people with mental illness in our jails and prisons than there are in hospitals and treatment.
So this is an unfair question because our time is limited. But, you know, North Carolina, to me, really a layperson who's just an observer in this area and an occasional person to speak out, it seems to me that we have sort of this crazy alphabet soup system. We've got LMEs and MCOs. And I defy, you know, the average layperson to even begin to explain how mental health services work in North Carolina. We can't fix that all, and we certainly aren't going to be able to fix it in a couple of minutes, but are there a couple of things that we could think about that would maybe start to move us in the right direction? Is it just about adequate funding? Are there things that we could do structurally to improve our mental health delivery system in this state?
Well, I think you're spot on with realizing that we need to make it simpler for people to get assessed, get care, all those things. But truly, people with mental illness, they're people like anybody else. I think what they need, what we need more housing. People aren't going to get better unless they have housing. They need jobs, and people want to work, and they can work and do an excellent job. They need access to care, and they need, when they get really sick, they probably need an inpatient bed. And of course, across the nation, we've decreased the inpatient bed capacity to an absurdly low levels, and they need one locally. So why not have beds in local hospitals that are dedicated to mental health psychiatric care? They don't want to stay in those beds forever. They want a life. They want to come out and they want to have housing, jobs, and relationships. So those are the things that we need to concentrate our money on.
There's a long list of important stuff that needs to be done. We really hope that our General Assembly will start to pay a little more attention to this in the upcoming session. We wish you all the best of luck with your work with NAMI and your advocacy. If folks want to learn more, they should just Google NAMI North Carolina.
Yes, that would be great. www.naminc.org. We'd love to have more members, more volunteers, but really speak out about mental health. Be kind, be compassionate to people who are affected. With the 1 in 5, they're right there in the room with you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll do this again real soon.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, one of North Carolina's top political scientists discusses the results of last Tuesday's elections. Stay with us.